Loving brothers and sisters in Christ, members of branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the believers who are attending this service through internet and GCN viewers, I've been explaining about the common elements of the heavenly kingdom. Namely, it concerns the basic environment of the kingdom of heaven. To tell you about the general natural environment of the kingdom of heaven, first I'd about the sky and land of a heavenly kingdom, then about the rose and the river, and also about the animals and plants. From today, I will talk to you about how the children of God will live there forever in that environment. I will first talk about things that commonly apply to everybody. Now, in this session, I will first tell you about the clothes that we will wear in heaven. When you travel to another country, you will prepare clothes that are suitable for the weather conditions in that country. It's because you would want to have the most pleasant journey possible. And heaven is not just a visiting place, but we will live there forever. Also, as stated in the first part of Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven, and we are going to be heavenly citizens. Through this message, I pray in the name of the Lord that you may become wise and blessed believers by learning the secrets to live a happy life in the eternal heaven and making it completely yours. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when we go into the heavenly kingdom after the great white throne judgment, we will have a perfected heavenly body. I already explained to you about this perfected heavenly body in the fourth session of this sermon series. Both men and women will have the form of a 33-year-old. The body shape will be just right and most beautiful, neither too thin nor overweight. Well, someone asked me a question. I think it was 80s. What is so fun if everybody in heaven is 33 years old? But I tell you that you must be thankful for that. If it's not so, it will be chaotic. Let's say your parents died at the age of 25 and you died at 70 or 80. Then when you go to heaven, your parents are 25 years old and you are 70 or 80 years old. What a weird moment will it be. Don't you think it will be too strange? Fairly enough, God will make all of us 33 years old, the age of our Lord Jesus Christ when He was doing His public ministry in this earth. Men's height will be about 190 centimeters, and women will be just over 170 centimeters. Regardless of the race on this earth, everybody will have the milky-colored, bright and clean skin without any spot or blemish. The skin will also give off the brilliant luster of glory. In this world, most women look like to have soft white skin. They put white powder or use all kinds of methods to avoid or remove wrinkles. But in heaven, you don't have to worry about your appearance at all. All women will look beautiful even without makeup. All men look like handsome. Today, we have technology to edit the pictures. We can make the face look brighter than original. We can make changes so we look more beautiful. In heaven, there are external lights, but there is also a light coming from within the heavenly body. The brightness of the light coming out depends on how much that person accomplished sanctification. So we call this the luster of glory. The more we are sanctified and resemble the heart of the Lord, the wider and the brighter our luster of glory will be. And by the brightness of this light, we can discern the heavenly rank. The hair will have the color of gold and it's wavy. Men's hair will come down to the neck. But for women, the length of the hair will be different according to the magnitude of each one's sanctification. They will start from the length in line with the shoulders, and the higher the level of faith, the longer the hair will be. The longest hair will come down to the base of the spine. It is just as 1 Corinthians 11:15 says, "But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering." So the hair of the women who enter New Jerusalem will come down to the base of the spine. There are some differences. For those who enter the third heavenly kingdom, their hair length will come down to the middle of the spine. It's all different for those in the second, first, or paradise. Now, what kind of clothes do we wear in the heavenly kingdom? Revelation 19:8 says, "It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Fine, bright, and clean linen. All right? Likewise, in heaven, basically both men and women will wear bright and white clothing. The material of the clothes will be so silky, light, and fluffy as if it had no weight. Also, there is light coming out from the dress itself. And this light is also different according to the magnitude of sanctification the person has accomplished. The more sanctified, the brighter and more lucid the light will be. In heaven, there is no dust and the heavenly body doesn't perspire. So even though we wear the same clothing for a long time, it won't get dirty or smell. It will never wear out. So will we need only one set of clothing? It's not true. Just as we have different kinds of clothes suitable for different activities, in heaven also we need to change the clothes we wear from time to time. When there is a party or a service in heaven, you change your clothes. When a party is hosted by our Lord, we wear this cloth. And when there is a party hosted by a high-ranked prophet, then we will wear a different cloth. Don't you think you are going to wear the best and the most beautiful suit or dress you have when you are invited to a party hosted by our Father God? We have clothes for ordinary times, and we need party clothing to wear for banquets, and we need dress that is formal attire to wear when we worship God. Also, if we have sports activities or play various games, we can have appropriate clothing for those activities. But as you know, everything is given to you in heaven according to what you have done on this earth. Therefore, the number of the clothes given to each individual will be different according to how much you have worked for the kingdom of God and how much you glorified God. Some people will have only a few sets of clothing to wear forever, but in other cases, people can be given an innumerable number of clothes and they can change as many times as they want. If you go to the New Jerusalem or Third Heavenly Kingdom, you are not only given a huge mansion and land, but also many different dressing rooms and closets. Also, some people have to change the clothes themselves, but for some other people, the angels will read the mind of their masters and do everything for them. It happens only when you go to either New Jerusalem or the Third Heavenly Kingdom. If you go to the First or Second Kingdom, you have to wear it all by yourself. When angels help you change your clothes, it's not so complicated. They just circulate you and it's done. Like this, angels will minister you. In heaven, not only the number of the types of clothing will be different, but also the designs, colors, materials, the patterns in the cloth, and the decorations on the dress will all be different. Therefore, just by seeing the kind of dress one is wearing, we can understand how much that person loved God and how faithful he or she was for the kingdom of God. Even on this earth, during the old days, when there were kings, the designs and colors and patterns of the clothes were very different according to social class. In the case of Korea, there might have been some differences in different eras, but violet, yellow, and red colors were used for the king's clothes. Ordinary people could not have those colors for their clothing. It was not only about the color of the clothes, but the patterns that they could have on their clothes were restricted. For example, dragons or phoenix could be used only for the king. It was the same with the material, design, and decorations. In the same way, in heavenly kingdom too, within the justice of God who pays back to us according to what we have done, everything will be given exactly according to the measure of one's sanctification and the rewards. First, the colors for the materials are different. For example, we call some colors red, yellow, pink, and light green, and these colors will have different ratios of mixture in them, and the luster of the colors will be different in each dwelling place of heavenly kingdom. In case of pink color, the pink color used for clothing of a person who is in New Jerusalem and that of the person in paradise will be very different in the glittering and feeling produced. But even though it is used in the relatively lower dwelling places of heaven, it cannot be compared with any color on this earth in its clearness. It will still give out luster that we cannot even imagine. Next, the patterns in the clothes will have very special meanings given by God. Some examples of the patterns are the pattern of thanks, the pattern of praise, the pattern of prayer, patterns of joy, and the pattern of glory. If a person lived a life of thanksgiving in all things during his life on this earth, God the Father will inscribe the pattern of thanks on his clothing. I gave thanks to God yesterday, so I will get that pattern too. No. It must be from the depths of your heart. Give thanks in every situation. Rejoice always and pray without ceasing. You must give thanks even when you undergo trials or persecutions. That's what I'm talking about. What the Bible says is this. You give thanks in any situations because you have faith. You give thanks because you are full of hope for heaven. Only when you give thanks like this from the depths of your heart, you will be given the pattern of thanks. Also, if a person lives a life of joy, not only for joyful things, but even with sad things or under the trials in life, God will give him the pattern of joy on his clothing. God tells us to rejoice always. When you have faith and hope for heaven, then you will rejoice all the time from the depths of your heart. Even if you encounter a trial or tribulation, you will rejoice, and then you will overcome it more easily. Then the trial will be converted to joy eventually. Next, the pattern of praise will be given to people who give God the Father the beautiful and acceptable aroma of praise by singing praises coming from his deep heart with thanks for the grace and love of God. If you give praises to God from the depths of your heart, then you must be the one who truly loves God. You will surely have faith and spiritual love as well. What is the evidence of loving God? It is to keep the commandments and to live in the light. Such people who truly love God and who have true faith will give praises from the depths of their hearts to God, and they will be given the pattern of praise. And on the close of those who prayed for the, with their life for the kingdom of God and His righteousness will be inscribed the pattern of prayer. But the most beautiful and brightly shining pattern than any other patterns is the pattern of glory. This pattern of glory will be given to a person who glorified God so greatly by doing everything only for the glory of God, whether he ate or drank or whatever he did. If a soldier renders a very outstanding service in a battle, he will receive a special medal honoring his meritorious service. The pattern of glory is given to commemorate a person's good work who gave glory to God so greatly. Therefore, in heaven, those who wear the clothes with this pattern will be the most honored of people. What kinds of patterns do you want to have on your clothes? You may want to have the pattern of prayer by praying a lot. You may want to have the pattern of praise. Because the pattern of the glory is the best, I want to receive clothing with the pattern of glory. It's good. Please long for various patterns, but remember, it's not that only one pattern will be given to one person, but you can receive many kinds of patterns and be faithful in all God's house. Well, there are many patterns. I may get one of them in heaven. Well, don't take it wrong. There are much, much more people who don't have any pattern than those who have at least one. It's not easy to get such a pattern. They are given after your faith are measured. Whether you rejoice under a trial or a tribulation, whether you give thanks from the depths of your heart, or whether you sing praises from the bottom of your heart, when all these are measured, those who get none of these patterns are more than those who get any of these. That's because it'll be measured whether you pray for the kingdom of and righteousness of God, whether you pray for souls, whether you pray for your church from the very depths of your heart with faith and love. All these will be measured. That's why there are many who don't get any of the patterns. One interesting thing is that there is something like a uniform in heaven too. When all people in the kingdom of heaven gather together to worship God or have a banquet, according to the era in which they lived and led their Christian lives, the colors and patterns of the clothes will be differentiated. It's not like the uniforms of this world, standardized with the same design, but the colors and patterns of the clothes are the same, so that it represents when and where we belonged on this earth. Not every church will get the pattern. Only those who that are known to many and those with many congregations will get such a pattern. For example, there is a separate color and patterns for the clothes that the Lord and the believers who follow the Lord will wear. Also, in case of the believers who live in these end times, there are colors and patterns that represent which church they were from. Therefore, when all our members, including all branch churches worldwide, go to heaven, at proper times you will all wear the separate clothes with distinguished colors and patterns that indicate that you are mommy members on this earth. I hope you will understand that in heaven, wearing clothes with differentiated colors and patterns is also a very honorable thing. Brothers and sisters, in heaven, not only through the clothes we wear, but also with the crowns given and ornamentations worn in their hair, we can see the rewards and glory of each person. It's because all crowns and various ornaments can only be given by God as rewards. According to how sanctified we are, how many souls we brought to the Lord, the offerings we have given to the Lord with all our heart, and according to how faithfully we worked for God, different rewards will be given. So the jewelry, adornments, and crowns that are given according to each one's deeds must be different. And the number, the light, and righteous, brightness, and the splendor of those ornaments will be all different. Now, what kinds of ornaments and crowns are there to adorn the head in the heavenly kingdom? The Bible mentions several kinds of crowns, and they are related with the magnitude of one's sanctification. So the qualification to receive each crown is different, and the value of each crown is different. First, we can find the imperishable crown in 1 Corinthians 9:25. This is a crown given to those believers who do not completely obey the word of God. They actually have more things that are in accordance with God's word than the things that they didn't obey. But because they try to obey God's word, this crown is given. If we value those crowns, well, this is the least valuable crown. Namely, it is given to the believers who go into the first kingdom of heaven, having the second level of faith. But those believers who are barely saved, namely those who have no effort to live by the word of God and have gone into paradise, will not receive any reward, and thus they will not receive any crown either. Some people manage very long years of believing life, 5 or 10 years, but they try not to get any duty from the church. They consider the duty a very bothering thing. They have to be more jealous, but they don't. Wouldn't they receive just shameful salvation? Since they have no evidence of loving God or being faithful in a given duty, because they don't have a heart to be faithful, they try not to be given a duty. 1 Peter 5:4 talks about the unfading crown of glory. This crown is given to those believers who have the level of faith to act by the word of God, namely those who are at the third level of faith. Those who are at the third level of faith do not commit sins in action, so they at least don't do anything to disgrace God's name. When you are at the second level of faith, I cannot say you completely get rid of all of those. You commit those deeds of flesh from time to time, but you try hard to get rid of them. And when the deeds of the flesh are cast off completely, then you are at the third level of faith. Since you have faith, you don't commit the deeds of the flesh anymore. Now you get rid of the desires of the flesh when undergoing trials, not the deeds of the flesh, but the desires of the flesh, the sinful desires that is combined with the mind. You get rid of such sinful desires that come from your thought at the third level of faith. So you get rid of such sinful desires that come from your thought at the third level of faith. Also, whether 10%, 30%, or 50%, they give glory to God to the extent that they live by the word of God. When you live in the light, the worldly people will think, "I want to go to church to become like him." When they see you, then you give glory to God. God remembers even the little glory that the believers give to Him and pays them back with the crown of glory. Therefore, even though they may be the same crown of glory, the size and the jewelry on the crown for ornaments will be different according to how much each individual has given glory to God. Next, James 1:12 says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." And Revelation 2:10 says, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." This is about those whose self has died completely and who has gone into spirit, namely those who are at the fourth level of faith. Let's think about it again. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. Now, he overcame his trial. Then, after the trial, he came into the Spirit. He overcame all trials and entered the Spirit. So he is blessed. Now, what kind of blessing does he get? Once he has been approved, in other words, once he has been approved by God, once he has been approved to be a man of spirit by God, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised. I explained that the people at the fourth level of faith are those who love God utmost. He will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Since he loved God, he overcame the trial, cast off every form of evil, and became sanctified. He got rid of every form of evil, cut off from the worldly things. He doesn't look out to the world, and he entered the Spirit and adorned himself as a bride. He kept God's commandments because he is the proof of his love for God. And then he is given a crown of life. So, those at the fourth level of faith who go to the third heavenly kingdom will be given a crown of life. Revelation 2:10 says, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." I'm telling you that there are two kinds of faithfulness: the fleshly faithfulness and spiritual faithfulness. What Father God truly wants is spiritual faithfulness, and it is to circumcise your heart. It is to circumcise your heart to get rid of all the sinful desires and sin and untruth from the heart, and to resemble the Lord and to recover the lost image of God. As written in the Hebrews, fighting against sin to the point of shedding blood is spiritual faithfulness. And there is fleshly faithfulness, the physical faithfulness that can be seen. Since you have spiritually faithful, you can get rid of every form of evil and come into spirit. So you are at the fourth level of faith to be eligible to enter the third heavenly kingdom, and you are given the crown of life. This is about those whose self has died completely and who have gone into spirit, namely those who are at the fourth level of faith. They go into the third kingdom of heaven, and to them, God gives the crown of life. Now, what kind of crown will God give to those who have accomplished the fifth level of faith, namely the Holy Spirit, and have gone into New Jerusalem? Revelation 4:4 says that 24 elders who are around the throne of God are wearing the crown of gold. Those who go to New Jerusalem are given the crown of gold. And here it says 24 elders are wearing the crown of gold. And in 2 Timothy 4:7 and 8, Paul said the crown of righteousness is prepared for him who fought the good fight, finished the course, and kept the faith. He added, "This crown of righteousness is not only for him, but can be given to all who love the Lord's appearing." Now, who are these all people? As written in the 1 Thessalonians, there are those who kept their body and spirit blameless, those who enter the Holy Spirit, like you and I who are waiting for the Lord to come back to take us. If you came into the Holy Spirit, then you will wait for the Lord to come back. You will long for Him. If He comes today, it'll be good. Tomorrow, you'll like it. You wait for Him and long for Him to come back as soon as possible. But those who are not ready will be surprised when they are told that the Lord comes back tomorrow. They will hope that the Lord will come later. That's why the Bible tells us to be ready and to keep out body and spirit blameless until the Lord comes back and will be given the crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness. Therefore, I hope you will quickly accomplish the Holy Spirit and be faithful in your duty with all your life until the Lord comes back, so that you will receive the crown of righteousness as your reward. In heaven, there are many more crowns than introduced in the Bible. There are a crown of flowers, pearl crowns made of a beautiful pearl, and crystal crown made of crystal with many kinds of decorative jewels on it. The sizes of the crown will also vary. Some are so big that we cannot understand with our thoughts of this world. If you wear such a huge crown, it will make you uncomfortable. But in heaven, it doesn't weigh. So even if you wear such a huge crown, it will bother you. It won't bother you. Rather, it will show that you are recognized by God that much. It will be such glory to you in heaven. On this earth, we can wear a crown only when it fits our head, but in heaven, it's not so. Even though the crown is much bigger and higher than can actually fit the head of the wearer, we can still wear such a crown, and it is such a glorious thing to wear such a crown. In heaven, there are not only crowns, but there are separate decorations for the heads of women. In ancient Korean dynasties, the women in the king's palace, namely the queen, the concubine, court ladies, and their maidservants, all had different hairstyles and decorations. I was told that there were many ranks between court ladies. In the same way, there are different hair decorations in heaven too. In paradise, there are no crowns and there are no adornments for hair, so they will have plain hair. Let's say your children go to New Jerusalem, but you go to paradise because you don't manage such a good believing life. When your children invite you to New Jerusalem, you cannot go. Why? Because you are too ashamed. The color, the brightness, and the clothes are so different, and you have to know you have no rewards such a patterns. So you cannot go to New Jerusalem. Then what should you do? Your children have to come to paradise where you live. Once you go to paradise, then it's safe for you to think that you won't be able to take a look at New Jerusalem. You cannot raise your head up because you are too ashamed. That's why it is called a shameful salvation. But as we go up the levels of faith, more beautiful and splendid hairpins or hairbands will be given. for the women in New Jerusalem, the jewels that are in these ornaments will be the most gorgeous and beautiful, and especially they will decorate their hair with interwoven thread-like strands that have beautiful colors. The adorning threads of beautiful colors will come down like it was a part of the hair, and it will give out various lights and brilliant splendor. Women consider their hair much more valuable than men do, and they do many things to decorate and care for it. The good God the Father does not miss even this kind of minor thing and pays back to us with rewards and glory. From next session, we will look at what will be eaten in the heavenly kingdom and whether we will have to eat to survive. Let me conclude the message. Brothers and sisters in Christ, today's scripture says that the fine linen, bright and clean, which is basically given to everybody in heaven, is the righteous acts of the saints. To the extent that the believers truly love God, keep His commands, and accomplish sanctification in their heart, their expressed actions will also be righteous. Not only the service, faithfulness, and volunteering in the church, but even in the world, they will become the light and salt in this world to give glory to God. Likewise, to the extent that our faith in God becomes perfected by our deeds, we will be given a brighter and finer robe in heaven. Revelation 22:14 likens this process of believers acting according to the truth and taking brighter fine linen with washing of the robes. It says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes." Please wash your robes, right? What does the robe refer to? What does it mean spiritually? Yes, it refers to our heart. Now, why are they blessed? The answer is coming. So that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. When you wash your robes and circumcise your heart, you can be saved. Doesn't the Bible say that your name will be erased when you soil your garments? Revelation says that the name will be blotted out from the book of life when the Lord talks to the church in Sardis. How many gates do you have to pass to go to New Jerusalem? Five. You must bypass the gate of paradise. You have to advance to heaven. You must fight spiritually. You must fight against sin to the point of shedding blood. That is what Hebrews says. Then where should you advance into? That's right. The first heavenly kingdom, and second, and third. Then you advance into New Jerusalem. And they may enter by gates into the city. In order to enter the city of New Jerusalem, you have to advance. You have to wash your robes. You sanctify your heart and you get rid of all evil in you so that not even a form of evil is left. And you accomplish love, virtue, and gentleness and recover the lost image of God. This is a Christian life. Just coming and go between church and home. And giving tithe, that is not a believing life. You must understand why God cultivates human beings in this earth, and you have to recover the lost image of God. This is the believing life. Just imagine you live in heaven without being cultivated in earth. Can you be thankful for your golden mansion? Can you be thankful for the golden road? When the world of New Jerusalem is made out of gold, can you be thankful for that? But once you are cultivated on this earth, you can be thankful for that. The road in this earth was dusty. When you have a precious jewel, you hide it in a safe place not to lose it. You even make a limitation of a jewel to hide the genuine original one in a safe place. But when you come to heaven, your mansion is made out of such precious jewels. It's a golden mansion with golden roads. Since there is no death, since there is no disease and no pain, you don't get sick and you worry nothing. You don't toil in a field. You don't need to study to go to college. Since you are cultivated on the earth, you are thankful for the life in heaven. That's why God put the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden to cultivate human beings on the earth. He foreknew that Adam would eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but he left him alone. Then human cultivation started. Since the enemy devil and Satan has the authority of the air, evil comes into human beings. Sin entered, and evil entered. As time went on, people became evil. Then we accept the Lord. After accepting the Lord, we came to know heaven and hell, and we know about judgment. We came to know that we were sinners, and then the believing life starts. All the sinful desires, the deeds of the flesh, the things of the flesh, we get rid of them one by one. Then this is the believing life. When we get rid of them, we come to resemble Father God. Originally, we were made in the image of God, the Trinity, and we lost it. And then we come to recover the lost image of God. And this is the believing life, the Christian life. Casting off every form of evil and cutting off from the world, and then recover the lost image of the Lord in God. That's what the Bible says. Do this, don't do this, throw this away, and keep this. When you obey and keep them, you come to recover the lost image of God. Since God is love, you love God. Since you love God, you keep the commandments of God. You live in the light. This is the believing life. Just going back and forth between church and home is not a believing life. What does the city in the verse refer to? It is the city of New Jerusalem. And the Bible also says that it is the holy city. Therefore, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will all wash your robes through sanctification of heart and acting in the truth so that you will receive the qualifications to boldly enter into the city of New Jerusalem.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries. and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bones of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.